Let's go to Zechariah chapter 1. And I want to say that I believe the message from this first chapter is a message of encouragement, and that the encouragement it brings is straight from the Word of God and the history of God's people. And I think it's something that can encourage and strengthen our faith right where we're at. And I sense in my heart that the Lord is wanting to bring this word from the scriptures to us to strengthen the work of our hands in the spirit of building up his son in us together. So let's pray and get into the word. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for the word of God, for the word of God, for the word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you filled us with, who opens up the very sacrifice as we read these verses, and we can eat and drink and feast on the slain Lamb of God. Glory to God, you open the seals, slain Lamb. Thank you that you overcome within us. You are the hope of our life, the strength of our life, the focus of everything, because you are our life and we are yours in a oneness that is beyond time and space and situation and failure and crisis. And you are everything. Lord, let your spirit minister to people right where they're at. Speak to them beyond anything we could even use in our wording or teaching or talking or fellowshipping today. Minister to your people. Strengthen our hearts. Help us to be so in tune with you that there's just a flow of oneness that overtakes ruts and problems and places we get stuck in. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 1. Let's read it. In the 8th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet. All right. Well, there is so much in that first sentence that is strong in the heart of the Father. I believe personally, these are just my thoughts, but based on the Word of God here for you to search out. So much there based on what is going on in the heart of the Father. But to see it, we have to do some digging. Digging deep to find pure gold. Hallelujah. And in digging, we have to look at some of the words. First word we need to look at, Zechariah. What does that name mean? It means Yahweh remembers. Okay. And the next name, I believe it's Berechiah, means the Lord Jehovah blesses. And then you've got Iddo, the Lord blesses in his time. So if you put all those three names together, Zechariah, his dad Berechiah, and his granddad Iddo, you get this sentence. Jehovah remembers and blesses in his time. Okay. And if you look at what time we have it, the 8th month, the 2nd year of Darius, if we look at the literal time that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, it's going to be 18 years past the date when the 70 years of captivity was over, okay? And I'm just going to ask some of us, most of us, if not even, I believe all of us who are here, were in Ireland in May when we studied the desolate Jerusalem and the 70 years when Jerusalem lay in desolation and death as a type and shadow of Christ crucified, bearing our punishment, our chastisement being upon him, while the people were sent away into exile in Babylon. And so Zechariah is one of the prophets that was raised up of God to strengthen and encourage the people that had returned from Babylon when the 70 years of captivity was over to rebuild the temple, in Jerusalem that was burned down to the ground. So these are the remnant that found it in their heart to go and remember and return to the desolate and the crucified, the forgotten, Jerusalem. We've got Zechariah being raised up to prophesy to those who were sent, who decided, the remnant that decided to return and rebuild the rubble of Jerusalem back into a habitation. And what they really were returning to was Christ crucified, which the burnt and desolate Jerusalem was a picture in type and shadow of Christ crucified, bearing our forgetfulness, rejection of him, bearing our chastisement, and while the people of God were sent. Now God, in the writings of Jeremiah, had prophesied, Daniel had read them and found them as well, that the set time, the time decreed for the people of God to be in captivity in Babylon was 70 years. So there's 70 years captivity that they were meant to fulfill while they're in Babylon. But when this letter from Zechariah was written, they had been in captivity already, or they had been out of captivity for 18 years. And so that's a really long time to have all been all, you know, set on this journey to rebuild the temple and to be in a place of bringing this forth and everything come to a halt. So, but we're just going to look at those names again, because it says, in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet. So at a certain, and we don't have to understand everything. If we can just grab hold of one big old heartbeat out of the heart of the Father and hear it, that's going to make a difference. That's going to make a difference in our lives. So at a certain day, at a certain month, in a certain year, at a certain point of time, God's heart was moved to release a word through his prophet, through his mouthpiece, to his people. And the man he chose to release that word through, his name, his father's name, and his grandfather's name combined meant Yahweh, God, remembers and blesses in his time, in his time. And so, you know, there is a time in our lives where we have been through something, where the Lord has maybe brought us through a death, and that death really was the desolate and crucified Son in us. We were bearing him, we were growing in him, in the sense of letting him be formed in us, letting him give himself through us. You know, that all the above. And yet, there's a set time the Father had for that death, for that release on the altar, for that season of his Son giving himself in that manner. And there's also that point where it's a chastisement, maybe, that it will speak of this in Daniel concerning the 7 years. And we'll go to those scriptures in a moment to look at that. But what's happening in that season, and what was happening in type and shadow in this season, was that in this picture, God's Son, God's beloved Son, had lain for 70 years in death, in desolation, in rejection, in ashes, in heaps, in ruins, in rubble, in forgottenness, and outside the campness, in all that our hearts grabbed hold of when we sought him in that way, to know him in May, in Ireland, in our study. He laid, this isn't just a city with stones in the eyes of the Father. And this isn't just a circumstance that happened at the hands of, you know, heathen Babylonians because of something. This is his Son laying in death, laying in nakedness, laying in vulnerability, laying for 70 years exposed and broken in the midst of the nations, a mockery, a refuse, for 70 years laying in that condition and forgotten. And it was a time decreed by the Father to happen for 70 years. And that's his Son he's talking about. He's not really referring to his people that were in Babylon for 70 years per se. They are one with that crucified Son. But I believe, and I believe the scriptures will bear out as we continue to look, that the Father was looking at his Son. the father was looking at his son. And it's been now 18 years past the point where it was time to start rebuilding. 70 years were decreed, but now we've got 18 years, and it's 18 years past the time when that thing was supposed to start rising up now as a habitation, something of life filling it, the same slain lamb life that lay in death, but yet that time was coming. So let's look and see a few more elements from the Father's eyes in this first chapter. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 11. Well, actually, we need to start in verse 7. Upon the 4th and 20th day of the 11th month, which is the month Shebat, in the second year of Darius, we're still in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet. So again, here you have it. The word of the Lord came to Jehovah remembers and blesses in his time. Verse 8, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the depths. And behind him were red horses, sorrel and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? The angel who talked within me said, I will show you what these are. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, the earth sitteth still, the earth is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years, these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good and comforting words. So the angel that talked with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy, and I am very much displeased with the nations that are at ease, that are at rest. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, the house of the Lord, and a line shall be stretched upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. So let's look at two things that are happening here in these verses. First is in verse 11, where he says, all the earth is sitting still and at rest, but Jerusalem is a rubble, and God is not yet at rest in his habitation there. He's not built. So everyone in the earth is at rest, but God is not at rest in his habitation, because it's a rubble, still laying in ashes, still laying in that unformed state. And he's saying, listen, everyone's at rest, everyone has habitation, but not my son, not my son. And the Lord will remember, and the Lord will bless in his time. Amen. Amen. And so in verse 15, he says, listen, I am very, very sorely displeased with the nations that are at ease, and I am jealous with a great jealousy for Zion and for Jerusalem. Listen, what the Lord is saying here is, all this that has gone forth in this dealing, my son going into a 70-year death and laying in that state with purpose, with purpose. And we see that purpose in Daniel. We can look at that later. But with purpose, to bring forth, his death is working to bring forth a certain kind of entrance and life in the people that had been so far from him and so void of his nature, so void of the true priesthood and of giving the Father his slain son in sacrifice. They're so void of that. He lay in death for those 70 years to build them up in that image, in that kind, to become a habitation of that slain son. He said, yet they are, the city itself is in rubble. My son remaineth there. The people are just discouraged. Nothing's being built at this point, 18 years into the thing, after the 70 years were accomplished. And the nations all around are at ease after all that's done. And they, you know, so the Father's stirred. He is stirred and he is jealous for his son. He remembers his son that has been laying in death. There was a set time for that to work and to bring forth something in the people so that they could be gathered into a certain spirit and nature so they could bring forth the son in a greater measure to the Father in his lamb nature. And it is time. And the Father is saying, hey, speak to these people right now, today, and tell them, my heart is stirred and it is time. This building needs to continue. I have this written down, and I think it was a key thing that the Spirit was ministering to my heart. It is the Father's place to raise up that Son within us, to rebuild us in his image, not to raise us from a sacrificial lifestyle, but to build us up in that mind and nature that we might have a greater expression of his life, his self-giving life through us, where the Father begins to raise that nature up in us, to build us together in that spirit, to form a corporate habitation for that Lamb to give himself through. We do not lift up ourselves. We remain in one spirit with the Lamb through it all. But there are forces at work in the earth and in us that try to keep us pressed down beyond the point, beyond the set point of that season. Not that we ever leave death and selfless giving in the Lamb, making himself of no reputation, pouring out his life for his enemies. We never leave that spirit. But there is time where the Lord wants to begin to bring forth that nature, bring forth the newness of his Lamb nature in us. And we just don't let that build, that breath of life breathe into us out of that slain, broken Lamb. We don't let that infusion of his mind and of his image and of his kind and of his heart and of his spirit. This doesn't make us something different than the Lamb. It doesn't make us powerful. I mean, it may breathe into us his weakness. It may breathe into us his brokenness and breathe into us his ability to lay our lives down for his enemies. But he's wanting to breathe into us something that's going to build us up into his nature and to bear more of his life in a certain way. Build up that temple as a habitation for this Lamb spirit in a greater measure. And we stay down in a wrong thing. We stay down in a way that keeps us unmotivated to be built, to be formed, to be fashioned in his image. And it happened to the people of God here in this season, right at the time when this word came. And we'll have to look at what was going on with them in Ezra. Let's look at Ezra chapter 3, verse 8 to start with. Keep your place in Zechariah, but just go back to Ezra. Ezra's right before Nehemiah. And I'm just going to read to you really briefly what was going on around this time. Starting in verse 3, verse 8, now in the second year of their coming to the house of God in Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, the remnant of the brethren, the priests of the Levites, and all that would come out. Basically, what it's saying in these verses is that they had laid the foundation of the temple and began to lay like the first set of stones of bricks around it. And there was a big crying out, and there was a big, you know, coming together, and there was a big laying of the foundation of the house of the Lord, and movement was happening. The foundation was being laid. That foundation is Christ and Him crucified. Paul says that in Corinthians. So, my gosh, things are being laid in the people. You know, the true image is beginning to be formed in Jerusalem. And there's a bride that's going to be formed as a wife of the Lamb. You know, this is great stuff. But look at chapter 4 of Ezra. Following that movement where God's finally getting something in His people, that's His Lamb nature forming in Him. Look in chapter 4, right after that movement. Now, chapter 4, verse 1 of Ezra, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God, unto the Lord God of Israel, that's memorial ministry, then they came to Zerubbabel and the heads of the fathers and said to them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do, and we do sacrifice unto Him since the days of Esarhaddon, the king of Assyria, there's a clue, who brought us here. But Zerubbabel and Jeshu and the rest of the heads of the fathers of Israel said unto them, you have nothing to do with us to build a house to our God. Okay, so then they went and they began to appeal to, and I'm just going to shorten this because it goes all the way through the rest of the chapter 4. They began to appeal to the foreign kings that surrounded Jerusalem, kings that didn't really know the favor that was upon Cyrus, who gave them permission to go and return and build and paid for everything they'd need to do that. These kings, these men from Samaria said, listen, look, they went to these foreign kings and said, look in the old records and see how Jerusalem used to make other nations pay tribute and would dispossess these nations and et cetera, et cetera. And so these kings looked in their old records and, you know, made a decree that, you know, Jerusalem should not be rebuilt. And so these Samaritans come back and they say, you can't, you're not allowed to rebuild anymore. You shouldn't do. All this attack is coming from without. And so I just saw in the scriptures here two things. You have the Samaritans and the foreign surrounding kings, all from without Jerusalem, and the people saying, you can't build. It's not allowed. We're not going to let you. No way. You cannot continue. And they're calling Jerusalem a horrible names, like evil and a rebellious and a wicked city. You know, this is an evil city. This is a wicked, rebellious city, and the kings will not allow you to be rebuilt. You know, all of this scorn and attack and hindrance to build is coming from without. And then from within is coming what? You know, depression and exhaustion, and we can't do it, and it's not possible, and it's been too long. We did good in the first and second year, but now it's been 16 years, and we haven't done anything for 16 years, and everything's still a mess, and every time we try to do something, the enemy attacks us from without, and the enemy attacks us from within. And I mean, does God even want this to happen anymore? Is it even possible to happen? Are we even going to be able to do this? I mean, gosh. And then the word of the Lord comes to Zechariah just at that time and says, God remembers, God blesses, and He does it in His time. It is time to hear the word of the Lord, not the word of the Samaritans, not the word of the heathen kings around you, not the word of your fake death and your depression and your discouragement that is not the Lamb in you. To hear the word of the Father calling forth His Son from within you in sacrifice, to rise up and give Himself to the Father by laying these foundations, by letting these stones be set one upon another, letting Christ crucified be built into your mind, built into your spirit, built into your nature, taking new ground in your heart, forming you in the right way with the brethren. So it's Christ all and in all, Christ crucified all and in all. Let this death expand out of those 70-year stones and breathe into you divine essence of the Lamb, the slaughtered Lamb, the crucified Christ, and let these things come forth into you. These heathen kings have no jurisdiction in the kingdom of God. Their word holds no legal word. God has decreed 70 years, and then He moved on King Cyrus that you could come and rebuild this. It's the time to let the Lord breathe life into you, but not just any kind of life, crucified, burnt stone life, life that will give you a new nature, a new heart, a new way. It's time. 18 years have passed. We did good 2 of those years. We laid in depression. We laid in attack. We laid in discouragement for 16 years. But God said, I am jealous with a strong and mighty jealousy for my Jerusalem. He's speaking of his son in us. My heart is set on Zion. I shall make her a praise in the earth. I will not slumber or sleep. Isaiah says it. He calls her the apple of his eye. That's his son in us. Don't you know the heart of the Father is bound up with the Son that is laid in desolation in Jerusalem, that is meant to be brought into a place of rest and expression in us? He says, these foreign nations, they're at rest, but my Son has not found habitation in you yet. Yet he laid 70 years in desolation so that there would be some who would receive him as their life. You're the ones who returned. You're the remnant who left Babylon. You are the ones who, unlike your fathers, said, let's go and rebuild. It talks about that in like verse 9 and 10, 7, 8, 9, and 10 of chapter 1 of Zechariah. You're the ones who didn't just rebel like your fathers, but came back to rebuild. You're the ones who has this in your heart to do. Come on, stir up your most holy faith. Get in tune with what God's trying to do. Wake up. Get out of that false death. Get out of those places. Hear what's in the heart of the Father for his crucified Son in you, and start to build. Start to build. And I will deal with these things. That's God's place to deal. He says that at the end of, in verses 18 through 21, I'll deal with these nations that have afflicted Jerusalem. I will. It is my place to deal. It's your place to build and to be built in union with the crucified Christ. Eat his flesh, drink his blood, breathe in his spirit. Let his mind be in you. Come on, let that foundation of Christ crucified be laid. Get a new spirit, a new heart. Breathe it in. 70 years of death are working on your behalf now so you can receive the life of the crucified Christ as your own in new and living ways. Come on, come. You hear Zechariah? Man, he's sent to these people at such a time as the Lord remembers. The Lord will bless and he'll do it in his time, and it's his time. It's his time. You know, I was thinking 70 plus 18 equals 88 years since they first went into exile in Babylon. And this probably has absolutely nothing to do with that number 88. But I thought about Psalm 88. And I thought about the Lord laying in desolation, Christ crucified as a type and shadow seen in those burnt stones of Jerusalem, laying 88 years waiting to be received by hearts that wanted to be built, wanted him to be built into them as their nature and life. Him laying in death, him laying in that heart of selfless giving, waiting for her to take him in this way and build him into her, be built into him in this love, in this union. And you know, you just, the essence of Psalm 88 just kind of resonates, that heart that's been long in death, like our beautiful Jesus, our Lamb, groom, who gives himself so utterly that we might truly be built into him and bear his nature in ways we never dreamed, because his death is so powerful on our behalf. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried night and day before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear to my cry. My soul is full of trouble. This is Psalm 88. My life draws near to the grave. I am counted as them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that has no strength, free among the dead, like a slain that lie in a grave, who you remember no more, and is cut off from your hand. For, Lord, you have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the very depths. Your wrath has lied heavily upon me. You have afflicted me with all of your waves. You have put away my acquaintances far from me. You have made me an abomination unto them, and I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. My eye mourns by reason of affliction, Lord. I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Will you show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O God, in the morning shall my prayer come before thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why aidest thou my face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up while I suffer thy terrors. I am distracted. Your fierce wrath goes over me. Your terrors cut me off. They come round me like water. They compass me, lover and friend, as you put afar from me all my acquaintances into darkness. You know you hear the voice of one who has been long in death. And that's what I was thinking of when I thought of our Lord in type and shadow laying in desolation and death so long in that rubble of burnt stones in that Jerusalem. And then I remembered something the Lord had shared with me when we were before him together in this heart of knowing him in his desolations and his given crucified self for us. And I thought, you know, we wait for the Father to raise his Son, and indeed he does. For the Father will raise him up from corruption. He raised him. And that is finished. But in this picture of the captivity in the 70 years and those who came and returned after them to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple, in just one small angle and thought, I considered, and I'm not even saying this is correct, but I considered that rubble of stones being raised up into a temple wasn't just in the hands of God, but in the hands of those who returned to rebuild. That they had to grab hold of those crucified, burnt, broken stones and take them unto themselves in such a oneness that they could be built into them a living habitation. It wasn't just in the Father's hands to do it, but they had to be with the Father in it actively and rebuild and raise it up in themselves to partake, to give place. And so we wait and he waits, and the Lord lays for 16 extra years. And the prophets cry out and the Spirit moves. And yet where is the heart that just says, Lord, here I am. And though there be pressures like crazy without, and though there be depression and fear within, you have laid long in death. And it's not just death, it's a death that is the death of the Lamb that giveth life, so I can come into union and breathe you in a whole new way and power to partake of the divine nature through oneness. And I am not going to lay down under the attack, and I'm not going to be pushed down under my own depression or guilt or laziness or sloth or, you know, heavy groggy spirit of slumber. At thy word, quicken me. Quicken me by thy word, O Lord. Father, let the heart for your Son to be formed in me. Raise me up out of my depression and false deaths and mully grubs and everything else. And let me latch on to your death. And let me draw out from that his life. And let it form and fill me and breathe into me something that will raise up Christ in a whole new way I've never had him. And let that be your Son unto you in sacrifice in ways you've never received him through me. And Lord, let's do this. Let's do this. And you know, Zechariah, he's just a type and shadow for us today upon and within whom the real has come. To hear what the Spirit is saying, that we might be built as a habitation for Christ crucified to abide in. Yes, there are many things in our lives that the foreign nations around us, like with Zechariah, that afflicted the people of God, like Assyria did to Israel, like Babylon and Egypt and all these foreign nations did to Jerusalem, and the Lord will deal with them. But they had their place. They had their place in helping us be brought back to the real, real deal, which is to partake of the Lamb of God as our nature. And if they overplayed their hand, if they overstepped what the Father had them do, if they abused Zion beyond measure in that sense, it's the Father will deal with them. It's none of our business. Vengeance belongeth to the Lord. We just thank him for the hands that nailed in those nails to get us on that tree where we needed to be. But you know what? God's dealing with them, but God's calling his Son out of us. He's not calling us out of us. He's not trying to revive our zeal and make us exhausted with trying to make it happen. He's calling his son out of us. And he's saying, it's time, and I will bless. Let me do this in you. Forget about your weaknesses and fears and your depressions and your problem. Forget about the things around you that are saying it can't happen. And listen to your father, because he is jealous for his son in you. And he has set this time to bless and bring forth Christ crucified in you. And he will do it. And he will deal with everything else. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. And we just, today, we just want to say, yes, Lord. Yes. Be it unto me according to thy word. At thy word I shall arise. For it will be your son in me who rises at thy word, Father. Let him rise. Let him rise out of the heap of our own fears and our own depression and our own false deaths, fake lambs. Let the real Lamb of God come to his Father in sacrifice. Let the real walls rise within our hearts and the real stones be knit with the true mortar of his nature and not the false mortar that can never temper us together with our soulishness and our earthliness and all the things that are not Christ crucified. Let the Lord build us up as a holy temple in the Lamb. He will do it. He will do it, and he will do it, and he will do it, and he screams it from Genesis to Revelation. But who will hear what the Spirit is saying to us? We will hear. We will hear. And the Lord wants to encourage us today. He wants to strengthen our faith. And we say, yes, Lord, do all that's in thy heart. Do all that's in thy heart according to thine own pleasure. According, the psalmist prayed that to God, do all that is in thine heart according to thine own pleasure. And so, Father, we pray according to thine own heart, according to thine own pleasure, according to thine own desires. Bring forth your Son in us beyond the attack around us, beyond the lack of everything within us, Lord, for his sake, for your sake. Bring forth Christ. And Lord, we're not asking you to just raise him up and do all the work, but we want to join with you. Our passion, our heart, we want to give ourselves. We want to choose. We want to press in. We want hunger. We want to say, yes, Lord, do that. Do that. And we give you all the glory through Jesus Christ, your Son, our life. Thank you for speaking to us through the Scriptures, encouraging us. Help us to hear beyond words and teaching into the cries of your heart. Into the power of that which is in your heart for your Son. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.